I'm gonna jig me up a walleye from the bottom of the lake, and I'm not gonna tell you what I use for bait. I'm a jigger, I'm the best jigger around.
Welcome to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Captain David Bacon. Sort of semi-world-renowned writer, lecturer, charter captain, and we're going to have a lot of fun today, and David's going to help us out. Right now, we're going to start off in Florida with Mark Stephen Lloyd. And Mark, I talked to you the other day, and why don't we just kind of start off with your story? I thought it was fascinating as to what you do and how you became what you're doing. Would you mind?
Not a bit. Thank you for having me. My name is Mark Stephen Lloyd. I own a company called Van Mark Inc. Jewelry Designers. I grew up in South Florida in the 60s and 70s and was constantly in the water, either skiing or diving, fishing, and just acquired a love of the ocean. And at an early age, my family was teaching jewelry making, and my father and my mother were doing it, and there are three kids in the family, and they started teaching us how to make jewelry. And I think I started about 8 years old, and because I love to fish, I started creating small pendants for friends, and it started there. So I was making these small pendants, and as time went on, I just ended up making so many different pendants and just word of mouth that everyone started ordering pieces from me, and eventually in 1989, I opened up my own company, Van Mark Inc. Jewelry Designers, and I now do custom ordering for companies that I sell up and down the Eastern Seaboard, Bermuda, the Bahamas, the Caribbean, and a few cruise ships here in South Florida and the Caribbean. And I specialize in marine-oriented jewelry, sport fishing items. So anyway, my website, if you'd like to check it out, is VanMark, V-A-N-M-A-R-K, jewelry.com. You can go there and see a lot of my work. And it started out, I was doing pendants, and then that developed into doing rings. And when I started doing rings, they were typically just like single fish wrapping around the finger, and then two fish going tail to head. And a lot of angling friends of mine and customers, the guys wanted to wear them as wedding bands. And a lot of the wives were saying, honey,
Wait a minute. It's not really a wedding.
It's not really a wedding ring, honey, you know. So in the early 90s, I developed and started scaling everything down. So I started making small little species of fish that would actually fit in traditional-looking cigar band type rings. And now, and I call these Grand Slam rings. And so on the website, you can actually go and pick your species of fish. And normally a lot of guys, well, here on the East Coast, Grand Slams, being that it's, marlin, blue marlin, white marlin, and sailfish is the typical, or if you're fishing down in the Keys, flats fishing, tarpon, snook, bonefish, and so forth. And you can order your own species, fish that will go onto the rings. And you can get it in multicolored golds, either white gold, yellow gold, rose gold, and so forth. And then have gemstones set in the eyes, or you can have them bezel set gemstones in between the fish on the ring.
Now, Mark, so, you have also been getting involved in a lot of the tournaments, and I guess you've got kind of a semi or official status, where you make the jewelry for some of the major tournaments.
I do. I sponsor a lot of billfish tournaments around the world. Some of the bigger ones are the IGFA, Offshore World Championship that takes place down in Cabo, and I've been doing that for about 4 years now. The Bermuda Big Game Classic tournaments, Miami Billfish Tournament, Fort Lauderdale Billfish Tournament, Pompano Beach Fishing Tournament, Los Sueños Invitational, Los Sueños down in Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
Invitational tournaments. And I make a lot of their championship rings. So a lot of the anglers, they go to these tournaments and, they love to win the rings, which gives them a little more incentive, to try and win one of the rings, because it's kind of a prestigious thing is to acquire one of the rings.
Oh, yeah. Championship ring, it's in some of these tournaments, is almost equivalent to a Super Bowl ring.
In some circles, yes, I agree with you. And thanks for the flattery.
Right. But no, they are impressive. Now, Mark, do you, obviously, you're good at what you do, and you've been involved in fishing, but, you know, how involved are you in the fishing itself? In other words, have you caught all of the species that you put into rings?
Not every single one, okay, I must admit. I wish that I had, but not every single one, but I know that there's a lot of individuals out there that have, so I have to offer those for the customers. But I'm an avid fisherman. I try and get out as much as possible. I love my weekends off, and normally you'll find me outside in my 23-foot sea craft where I fish off Fort Lauderdale and Miami and occasionally down in the Keys.
Well, Captain David here, and it seems to me that, you know, the best way to get inspired to come up with a new piece is just go fishing, right?
That is it, and it's a good excuse for me, too, to get out in the boat. You know, occasionally my wife says, honey, you're just fishing all the time. I say, well, honey, it's really inspirational, and it's business, you know.
That's right. It's my job.
Right, exactly. But you're right. I mean, just to be out there, it is inspiring to, you know, pull a fish that's, you know, all lit up at the side of the boat before you release it. It's phenomenal. I try to take as many photographs to try and get as much realism in my carving as possible. And all the jewelry that we produce here is produced by myself and one other employee. So it's all hands on, and it's not farmed out to be, you know, mass produced in other countries and so forth. So we take a lot of pride in the craftsmanship that goes into the jewelry that we make. And if you take a look at the little species that go into these fish, there's a lot of other companies on the web that have, you know, sort of knocked off my idea of having a grand slam ring where you can put multiple small mm-hmm. species of fish into a ring. And just judging apples to apples, these little pieces are about the size of your pinky nail. And the difference is that on my rings, the species of fish that I carve, I try and carve them as large as possible. So when you look at these rings, it's scar band with outside raised edges, and these species of fish fit down into the ring. But you actually see we're all carved out, groove out into those little raised edges on the sides to make the species of the fish that fits into the rings as large as possible for viewing.
Mark, I'm kind of curious about the method that you use. So do you said carve them. Do you cast them, or are they made out of gold? Are they plated with gold? Or what is the process you use to create your rings and your pendants and your jewelry?
Well, the process is called lost wax process. Everything that I carve is carved out of a hard petroleum wax, except for these little species that fit into my rings. I carve those straight out of sterling silver because, being that they're so small, it's very difficult to handle something so small without it breaking while it's in wax. So if I do that in metal, I can get ultimate detail in the pieces. And everything starts out in wax, and then it's cast into preferred metals. I do nothing with plating, like plating silver. It's nothing. It's like called vermeil. I don't do any of that. It's any carated gold, either 18, 14 carat, and then different colors of 18 and 14 carat.
Okay. So when you say you cast them, is that one at a time, or can you make multiple from one cast?
You can make multiples from one cast. In other words, if I get an order, and I do manufacturing for other companies also, I can fit, you know, 30 to 40 different pieces in what they call one casting flask and cast multiples at a time. But like I said, also, I'll give you a really quick education as far as lost wax casting. If you picture a coffee can, you take the can, you take the plastic lid off the top of the can, you cut off the top and the bottom of the coffee can, so then you just have a cylinder. And on the bottom, you tip the plastic lid upside down, you melt a little ball of wax on the inside of that plastic lid, and then you create a wax rod that fits down and is adhered to that little ball that you've created on the inside of that plastic lid. And then your pieces of jewelry have what they call feeder sprues. They're just little wax rods that connect
Mark,
the pieces.
We've only got about 15 seconds left. It's, maybe we might have to bring you back again, but it sounds extremely exciting. And I'm sure that you know, to be able to create this stuff, you've got to get the motivation and enthusiasm. So why don't you give that website just one more quick in 10 seconds?
That would be great. VanMarkJewelry.com. DenmarkJewelry.com.
DenmarkJewelry.com. Thank you, Mark. That was very interesting and educational. We'd like to have you back again. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio with John Hennigan and Captain David Bacon.
It's time for you to take a real fun adventure. Join a hosted fishing adventure to Alaska or Baja with the staff of Fish Talk Radio. Real Fun Adventures can book you on any adventure you desire. Bring your fishing friends or meet new ones. Fish Talk Radio gets the best deals from our sponsors to give you the best possible price. Real Fun Trips are inclusive, easy, no-worry packages to the most popular fish grounds. Trips start around $600. Go to reelfunadventures.com.
Set on the magnificent Sea of Cortez, the Grand Heritage Resort and Spa at Marina Costa Baja is the first five-star resort in La Paz, Baja South. Overlooking a 250-slip marina and white sand beaches, enjoy two signature restaurants, a world-class destination for fishing or diving. Enjoy five-star elegance in the charming laid-back city of La Paz. Dock your boat and enjoy the Marina Village. Visit on the web at CostaBajaResort.com.
It's all for the rod, the jolly, jolly rod. All for the rod and the tackle. I spent all my tin on this fishing boat I'm in, as across the mighty water I do travel.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Captain David Bacon. And, well, that was an interesting segment, a little bit different than what we normally cover, but very interesting nonetheless. It certainly has to do with fishing.
It does. It does. You know, that can be fascinating stuff to look at, wear, mm-hmm. show off, and, you know, his description of how it's made was intriguing.
Intriguing. Well, intriguing is also a good term for one of our central coast lakes. As a matter of fact, you are now the new Western Outdoor News editor for Central and Northern California for Western Outdoor News?
Yes, covering saltwater.
Saltwater. Okay. All right. Well, sorry. We're going to go to some freshwater right now. We have, I don't mind, I hope you don't mind if I call you Ranger Richard,
who is...
Ranger Rick, who is the head ranger for Lake San Antonio, is that correct?
Yeah, correct, here at South Shore.
Okay, and Lake San Antonio is in Central California and around the Paso Robles area, you know, right down the hill from Lake Nacimiento. And one of the reasons we like to talk to you this time of the year is because that lake is not only fishable, but it is beautiful all year long. It's a little cooler now. In the summertime, it gets pretty warm up there. But give us a little bit of information about Lake San Antonio.
Well, right now, the temperature is mid-60s during the day. It's getting a little bit colder at night, but I'm looking at the lake right now, and it's just absolutely beautiful. If you were up here fishing, you'd have the whole, unfortunately for us, you'd have the whole lake to yourself. Talked to a few tournament guys this past weekend, and they're saying that the smallmouth bite is going off. There's a couple bags, 13 to 14 pounds in the tournament. But this time of year, our wildlife is our big attraction. We're getting some migratory bald eagles and golden eagles in, and they're just absolutely beautiful to be out on the water and catch one of those birds flying by your boat. It's one of the most amazing views you'll ever see.
Well, Ranger Rick, I tell you, Captain David here, and I get a lot of folks at my tackle shop that are going up your way, and they're always kind of excited about just spending a day or a weekend or a week or whatever up there because there is so much to do. You know, you mentioned that wildlife, and you know, people just love to see that. I know I do. At the same time, you also mentioned bass, and bass fishing is big fishing. And, you know, you've got a lake with a real good reputation for that. And, you know, you get, you know, the casual angler, you get the real serious types. And what are some of the methods that you see, most common for catching bass on your lake?
Right now, I think the vertical jigging is really good for the striped bass. Talked to a couple of the guys that fish the lake quite a bit. And the vertical jigging for the striped bass is a ticket at this point.
Okay, so we're going more vertical now than, say, with creature baits and things like that. We're kind of fishing there. They're moving out deeper, right?
Yeah, a little bit deeper. The shad are probably holding a little bit deeper with the temperatures, and so the fish are where the bait's at.
Sure, sure. But then trout, they're holding higher?
We don't have much trout here at San Antonio. We haven't had any for a while.
Isn't the trout bait at San Antonio?
Trout plant?
Food, yeah. Well, with all those bass and the different types of bass in there, I'm sure that the trout have to run for cover.
Yeah, absolutely. It's more of the shad. We've got a real good population of the shad here.
That's some pretty exciting fishing, nonetheless. And you've got, you know, a variety of fish, and you've got just some of the most gorgeous country around, and it just makes it worthwhile for folks to make a run out to you and visit. And you say folks can kind of have the lake to themselves right now.
Unfortunately for the Parks Department, the lake is nice and calm. It's flat. Got a lot of birds on the water right now, so if you're just out here waiting for the birds to chase the fish, they're easy to spot.
Now, you also have a lot of accommodations both at Nacimiento and at San Antonio. If somebody wants to just show up, they can get accommodations, they can get boats, they can get tackle, they just have to show up?
Yeah, we got both marinas at both lakes are full service. There's fuel, rental boats. If the family wanted to come out and do some sightseeing on pontoon boats, there's lodging at both lakes, and if they wanted to pull the trailer out, plenty of campsites for them.
And striped bass also? Any action there?
Oh, yeah. It's slowing down a little bit. Like I said, the lake just now turning over, just finished turning over. And so the striped bass are holding a little bit deeper, but, man, they were going off a little bit earlier in the year.
Good news.
Well, you know what? There's another reason. You know, if you get a little bit of time off, you know, between Christmas and New Year's, and you want to do it's this part of California is a great place to be. And if somebody wants to try and get some information up there, should they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can get in touch with me, or they call our administration office or the resort, and I can give you that number.
Sure.
It's area code 805-472-2313, and that would get you to the resort and the lodges and the marina.
Okay, 805-472-2313?
Correct.
Great. Ranger Rick, I hope you don't mind I call you that, but we appreciate you coming on today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to be moving down to back to some salt water, a little bit farther south and maybe a little bit warmer. We have the Wolf from Picante Fleet in beautiful Cabo San Lucas, the finest fleet in the world and the finest charter fleet in Cabo San Lucas is Picante, and I can guarantee that personally. Wolf, give us an idea what's happening down there.
Well, it's Christmas here, and people are starting to show up. But as far as the fishing, which you're probably a little more interested in, the tuna fishing has been really good. I'm just looking at a picture here of one of our captains, and the tuna's bigger than he is. You know,
well,
Brinkos.
He's one of those little guys, though, right?
Yeah, question is, how big is the captain?
Yeah, so it's probably only 200 and 220 pounds. And then we had one near 260, I think, a couple of days ago. And I mean, there's some big tuna around here. It's like it's for the holidays. It's going to be Christmas tuna instead of Christmas turkey.
Mike,
Christmas ham.
If you don't mind a little bit, if we can reminisce, every year is an unusual year, but it seems like 2011 was even more unusual than unusual. You want to just do a quick recap on that? Here we get in tuna, and as I can attest, in October, you know, we pulled in a 200 plus on 50 pound test, so I know they're there. But give us a kind of an idea of what you know, what kind of happened and what you're anticipating in the next couple months.
Well, it seemed like it started out a little slow, but the end of the summer was really the most interesting part, is because we were catching blue marlin and sailfish into December, and it's the water should be a little cool. They should be around, and like I mentioned last week, we had that 600 pound blue, and the week before we had sailfish, and it's like it's just not what you would expect this time of year. Now the tuna fishing has been real good. Today all the boats are flying tuna flags. Everyone's happy we got tuna to eat, and there's even still rooster fish on the beaches. I know I caught a couple of 12-inchers last week.
Well, from the shore?
Yeah.
Wow.
So everything seems to be happening a little bit late, and there's still major opportunities for some adrenaline pumping, real screaming kind of action there.
Yeah, there's all, you know, it's like things just, it's always good. It's changing. We'll be doing a little more grouper and snapper fishing here now as the water's cooling off a little bit, and we're waiting for that to, well, I shouldn't say, I say heat up, but I mean the fishing will heat up, but the water will be cooling down. And that's an exciting time of the year, too, for those that like to get out in the boat there and fish along the rocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, the Sierras, of course, come in when the water cools off, and you know, you do get some of the, what's traditionally the rock fish, but they're not always in the rocks.
Yeah, we've heard some reports of Sierra, but no one is really quite fishing for them yet. There's still such good tuna fishing that the guys are just, you know, hitting the tuna.
Well, that's the great thing about Cabo San Lucas. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's phenomenal, but in the worst case, it's always good.
Yeah, it is pretty much. You don't see many boats getting skunked. You know, occasionally it happens. Sometimes you'll have boats fishing side by side. One guy will catch three marlin, another boat won't catch any. But, you know, it's fishing. They're out there, and, you know, if you get out in the water, you're going to catch fish. Our charter numbers are, it's wintertime, just before Christmas, and there's not a lot of people around there. Just starting to show up. The snowbirds are starting to show. And we expect some real good fishing here, especially the striped marlin should be getting better and better as the cooler water moves down.
Yeah, your season just heats up and gets going here, and if there is one option runs out, you've got plenty of other options to go for. And what are the options for people as far as what kind of boats to go out on with you?
Well, we go all the way from the 24-foot center consoles up to a 45-footer. And actually, last week, our 24-footer came in. He didn't have room for any more flags. I think he had they'd done like 10 Dorado, a Wahoo, and two Marlin released. I mean, it was crazy. It's like, you know, it's the little boat, and they were doing it too.
Well, it's a little speeder too. You can get anywhere you want to go as long as the water is reasonably flat.
Yeah, and you know, and of course the big boats, you know, our constant producers, you know, the 35s and the 45 are always out there, are always pulling some good fish.
Yeah, well, you know what's my favorite boat is? Is the 35 Salsa. You got a great captain, great deckhand, and just a comfortable and amazingly fast. It says, so we went, leave the marina at 7 o'clock, go 22, 25 miles, and had a marlin released in less than an hour.
Yeah, you know, my favorite boat is the one I'm on.
Well spoken. That's right. Always the way
well,
you play.
We're going to have to wrap this one up, but I guess the whole point of the story is come on down to Cabo San Lucas and get in touch with Picante Fleet. The fishing is, weather's cooling off, but the fishing's still hot. And you can go to fishtalkradio.com, and where it says Picante Fleet, just click on that, and or you can go to the website directly, which is
www.picantesportfishing.com
Picante.
Or give us a call at 714-442-0644 right here in Cabo.
Picantesportfishing.com. Wolf, thank you very much. Have a very Merry Christmas, and we hope to be talking to you real soon and hope to get down and visit with you. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan with Captain David Bacon, and we're going to be right back.
Considered the finest long-range sport fishing vessel in the world, the Royal Polaris is based at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fishing the Royal Polaris provides unmatched service, speed, and comfort. Live the dream of landing giant yellowfin tuna, wahoo, and summer albacore. Still the fastest long-range sport fisher in the world at 113 feet, the Royal Polaris offers first-class staterooms, refrigerated fish storage, the latest in electronic fish-finding gear, and unmatched expertise. Live your dream for less money than expected. Visit RoyalPolaris.com.
Vagabundos Del Mar Boat and Travel Club has 42 years experience introducing RVers to the joys of Mexico. Specializing in Baja, Vagabundos leads caravans and sponsors fishing tournaments, trailer boat cruises, and weekend getaways in Mexico and the West. Vagabundos Del Mar also saves its 10,000 members tons of money on low-cost auto insurance. Stay up to date on Mexican travel with the printed newsletter online at vagabundos.com or call 800-474-BAHA.
Cutthroat, northern pike, largemouth, speckled trout, dorado, coho, flying fish, walleye, bonefish, sunfish, codfish, monkfish, shark, barracuda, tarpon, hammerhead, bluefin, tuna, great white mackerel.
Welcome back to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan in studio with Captain David Bacon. As we mentioned earlier, well-known writer, lecturer, charter boat captain, and recently now, Western Outdoor News made him the Go ahead, David.
And Tackle Store.
And Tackle Store.
I'm proud of that. Yeah. I just bought it this year.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he stays busy anyway. But we have the pleasure of having John Kirk, who is with the International Sportsman's Exposition, as I mostly known in the industry as ISE, I believe. And John, what we'd like to talk about is you have an opportunity to kind of keep your finger on the pulse of the industry, you know, as far as where it's been, where it's going. And maybe we can talk a little bit about that. And David, you know, being a writer and lecturer, I think he knows a lot about the industry. So let's just kind of give an idea of maybe a perspective of, you know, what you've seen, what's happened last year and, you know, where we're going next year.
Sure. Thank you very much for allowing me to come on the show. We have five different shows in the western United States and have been around since 1975, and our shows have anywhere from 300 to 600 different exhibiting companies and attract from 20,000 to 40,000 people over a four-day run. So they're pretty considerable events. And what we've noticed, and it's really exciting to me, is that government agencies, nonprofit agencies, and clubs and groups that are actively supporting grassroots efforts for every kind of outdoor activity are becoming more involved in the shows because we're able to bring them to a fairly large stage with quite a bit of light on it and advertise heavily within a market, and that brings a considerable number of people to the show who can then meet with these people who are really the heroes of the outdoors because they're doing stuff 365 where we come into the market for, you know, 4 days a year and then leave. But none of the groups really has the money, the resources anymore, whether personnel or dollars and such, to really blow up the idea of the outdoors like we can, because we have to in order to draw that many customers, which we have to do in order to satisfy that many vendors. And so I would say that's over the last decade and increasingly so, especially in economic hard times, you know, these groups are all scrambling for members, they're all scrambling for donations, they're all doing raffles, they're trying to do auctions. The government in particular is having to cut back on staff and projects, and when people retire, they don't replace them, so the people who are there are doing more jobs than ever before. That's leading to a lot of drop balls, and it's leading, as you well know, in California to a lot of things that just aren't getting done and probably won't get done, and that leaves the hard work. If any of us want to go in the outdoors in the near future, we really need to support these local organizations, the clubs and the groups that may be 5 or 10 guys or maybe 500 or 5,000 guys with our support, whether it's a couple of bucks or volunteering here or there or whatever, or just helping to pass the word through to a friend or through Facebook or whatever. It's an honor for us to do that because we don't want to be carpetbaggers and come into a market and say, hey, here we are, and now we're leaving after we've taken your money. So we found that by helping these folks, we not only make a better show because it's more locally relevant, but we, in essence, are seeding the field for the future of the outdoors, including us. So the next time we come around, bass fishing, saltwater fishing, hunting, whatever, may be a little bit better or be no worse than it is this time.
Those shows, Captain David here, those shows are incredibly important to those groups you talk about. That's where they meet the public. That's where they let themselves be known. That's where they gain members and friends and supporters. And, you know, a lot of those groups you talk about, those are the ones out there fighting for our fishing rights, hunting rights, or whatever. And, yeah, we really need to support those. We've seen what happens when we don't. And so we need to support them. And, you know, you also mentioned, John, the government organizations. And, you know, like NOAA and the various state fish and game departments and whatnot, they like to have a presence at these shows, too, because that's kind of a big opportunity for them to go face-to-face with the public that they, you know, their constituency, if you will. So, yeah, those shows are just awfully important to everyone. And one other comment, you know, you mentioned the economic situation, too. And, of course, fishing is and probably hunting is economic driven as a business, and so it'll have its ups and downs. But you know, I mentioned earlier that I have a tackle store, and you know, folks that are worried about their jobs or have lost their jobs, you know, they need to go job hunting, but you know, they also escape and go do a little fishing. So now what they buy on a given day, because they haven't had a paycheck lately, may be different than what they buy when they do have a paycheck, but they're still going to go fishing because they need to.
Well, that's true, and that's another trend that we didn't talk about or didn't mention yet is our shows are, probably sometimes 50 to 60% travel related, and that includes Alaska and South Africa and Mexico and Canada, as well as California or the West. But we've seen more and more companies, and we're doing more and more promotion for staycations where, you know, people just want to get out for a weekend, and they can do that. The other trend that we've seen, and there actually have been a couple of shows that have started in the last year on this, and we've been increasing the size or the number of vendors in the show. The shows are called Self-Reliance Expos, and these are expos that are still fairly small, and there's been one in Salt Lake and one in Denver, and these are solar-powered stoves, solar-powered battery chargers, things that people can, you know, people can grow stuff at home, these types of items tend to be growing in number and gaining more and more attention.
John, I think what we're talking about is that, you know, there's always a place not very far from wherever you live that you can go fishing without spending much money. And the shows are a lot of fun. You're doing a great service by, you know, by what you do. And if somebody wants to get some information about, what is it, ISC, how do they do that?
Oh, yeah, they can just go online to sportsexpos.com. And they can even search for us on Facebook. We have a page there, and we promote a bunch of contests
sports,
and such there.
Sports Expos.
Sports plural, Expos, plural, .com.
Great, John. We appreciate you taking the time to come on with us. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
All righty. Okay, well, you're right. It's time to go fishing. No matter where you are, even if you have to drill a hole in the ice, there's always some place close by, and you don't even have to have a boat. Right now, talking about fishing, we're going to talk to somebody that knows more about hooks than anybody I know. I think that we have Jeff on the line with us. Jeff from Gamagatsu, are you there?
Hey, how you doing, John?
Fantastic. Hey, we had you on a couple of weeks ago, and we didn't spend nearly enough time because, you know, fishing hook, as we said, what's the most important thing between the angler and the fish?
Oh, I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think that guys kind of get enamored with gear and kind of what they're out doing, and sometimes they forget that the hook is the most important link between them and the fish.
And what we talked a little bit about last time that I'm still not clear about is we can't talk about the type of hooks because there's probably 1,000 different types and designs. You know, we did mention circle hooks, but can you kind of just give an overview, if there is such a thing, as the different parts that go into the hook, that, you know, the size, you know, how do you gauge what the size is the, you know, the gap or the shank, or kind of just a real brief, quick description as to, you know, what goes into making a hook?
Well, I mean, there's no real industry standard per se. I mean, every manufacturer has their own way that they do things, and of course, you know, the size range is different amongst all manufacturers, but generally speaking, you know, the smaller the hook, you know, the smaller the number, you know, and then as you go up to the aught sizes, you're going to be into the bigger hooks, you know, the 5-aught, 6-aught, 7-aught, what you see in the saltwater arena, and of course, you know, some of the bigger bass hooks that we make. So, you know, that as far as the construction of it goes and how it's rated size-wise, there's no real industry standard per se.
You know, from the perspective of a tackle store owner, John mentioned there's 1,000 different type of hooks, and I'll bet you could add a zero to that, I think.
Absolutely.
And you know, people want me to have all of them there. I think I need a whole separate store just for hooks.
Oh yeah, I mean, you know, as far as all the different fisheries and what guys are out there actually doing, you know, certainly a broad selection of hooks is a good, you know, a good investment. I mean, you got guys coming, especially in California market, where, you know, it could be marlin, or not necessarily marlin. I'm not thinking marlin. I'm thinking
Yeah, sometimes.
Well, really?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Well, the Catalina tournament is every year. That's a Marlin tournament. Started in, 100 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. Well, so you got that, and then you got all the way from, you know, up in the Sierras, you got mm-hmm. the panfish thing going on and everything in between. So, you know, as far as the hook goes, we're a company that definitely considers all of those fisheries and fishermen and try to make a hook for everybody.
Yes, you do. And I'll mention, again, from a tackle store owner perspective, that, you know, of the various brand names represented on my wall, you know, yours, Gamakatsu, has a real solid area on the wall. And it's one people come in and expect to see and want to see, and people love your hooks.
Well, yeah, I appreciate that. You know, we've done a really good job, and over the years, you know, our reputation has been one of quality and consistency, you know, a durable hook as well, one that holds up, not just a sharp hook, but a durable hook. So guys that know about the brand, they've come to understand what it's all about and trust it. And of course, we have that relationship with the dealers that sell them.
Yeah, real quickly, we're gonna have to go, Jeff. But your hooks are more expensive. But when
you look at
you know what it costs to go fishing, you know, an extra dollar to keep that fish isn't any part of it. But Jeff, we appreciate you coming on Gamakatsu. We got about 10 seconds. You have a website.
Yeah, it's www.gamakatsu.com. We're going to get a new website up here in the next little while. It should be up pretty soon.
Gamakatsu.com. Thank you, Jeff. We're going to bring you back. You're listening to Fish Talk Radio. This is John Hennigan.